My guest at this time is Texas Republican Congressman Michael Burgess. He's also a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. We want to get his thoughts on some of the issues that came up on Tuesday night's second presidential debate, the town hall style meeting at Hofstra University. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, glad to be with you.
Well, let's start with the committee that I mentioned, Energy and Commerce, because one of the big encounters early on in the debate was the disagreement between Romney and the president over which direction the amount of energy exploration has gone over the past 4 years. Governor Romney saying that it's gone down compared to the Bush years, and President Obama contending that it's gone up and gone up substantially. So who's right?
They're both right, but President Obama is ignoring the fact that actual drilling activity on public lands, federal lands that he controls, is way down. It's the drilling on private lands, which the president cannot control directly, that has gone way up. Look, there's no mistake in my mind about what another Obama administration would mean for energy production in this country, and they are looking for ways to inhibit the production of energy, whether it be his folks at the Environmental Protection Agency who have been holding off coming forth with their rules on hydrologic fracturing, or whether it's the people on the Fish and Wildlife and the Endangered Species Act folks who are going to attempt to put lands off limits because of adding vast new numbers to the Endangered Species Act. These are people who do not want America to produce energy, and they're going to be front and center in the next Obama administration. In a Romney administration, I think you'll see a lot of those forces reined in. Romney has made a commitment that drilling on public lands is something that he will pursue. It's part of his all-of-the-above energy strategy. It's part of his economic strategy to get Americans employed and back to work. And Governor Romney knows, and I think he's correct in this, that if you don't have a viable energy policy, you cannot have an economic recovery.
Congressman, as you mentioned, Governor Romney talked about energy as point number one in his 5-point economic plan. He's promising to create 12 million new jobs, and energy's just a part of that. But that would suggest at least that millions of jobs are out there to be created as a result of this. Is that accurate or overly ambitious?
I think it's accurate, just based upon my experience of where I live. My main county is atop a geologic formation known as the Barnett Shale. And I got to tell you, Greg, when the recession, according to the economists and the think tank folks, started in December of 2007, here in North Texas, we didn't know about it for a full year, because at the time natural gas prices were quite high, and there was full employment in the area that continued well into the recession because of the activity surrounding the production of natural gas and the jobs associated with the production and the sale and the maintenance of those facilities. So, yeah, we saw that economic boom in North Texas. Now the price came down some, and then the effects of the recession caught up with us, but not nearly like it was in affecting other parts of the country. And in those geologic formations, such as the Bakken Shale up in North Dakota and the Eagle Ford Shale in South Texas, where there's oil as well as gas, these are areas where, they're in an economic boom town right now. This is the type of economic activity that Governor Romney's vision could bring us.
You mentioned the Bakken Shale, and that's obviously a huge reserve of natural gas. The president seemed to embrace natural gas extensively last night. He did so in the State of the Union message earlier in the year. Are the same regulatory hurdles that you mentioned with respect to energy as a whole also applying to natural gas, or is that an area where the rhetoric matches the reality?
No, I got to tell you that the State of the Union moment was like, something out of straight out of a Franz Kafka novel for me. The president spends more time talking about natural gas production by fracking than he does his own health care law. I thought I'd got into a parallel universe where the president was channeling his inner George Bush. Look, the problem that we have is with the Environmental Protection Agency. The president pushed and almost got cap-and-trade legislation to pass the House, remember, in June of 2009, a dreadfully bad idea that was going to drive costs and prices up for everybody, not just the drillers and manufacturers and the miners, but the consumers, the consumer, the end product. Electricity prices were going to go through the roof. A phenomenally bad idea. They didn't get it done. So they tried to do it backdoor through regulation through the Environmental Protection Agency. They have held off with some of their ideas because they could be politically they could be a potent political weapon to use against them. Starting another four-year term where he doesn't have to worry about re-election, I think it's Katie bar the door, and the Environmental Protection Agency is going to be the central focus of the president's restriction on developing American energy. I don't think, for example, he'll ever approve the Keystone Pipeline. I think that's just a pipe dream because he is too beholden to the radical environmental left, who were the ones, after all, that prevented the president from making the sensible decision a year ago, January. Bill Clinton would have built that Keystone Pipeline in a heartbeat. He wouldn't have hesitated to do that. President Obama, though, natural tendency is to turn left and to turn to his constituencies on the left. He did so, and as a consequence, the Keystone Pipeline has been bottled up for the last 10 months.
We're talking with Texas Congressman Michael Burgess, and Congressman, with a couple minutes left in our conversation, another issue that was raised in the town hall that is certainly very prominent in your state is immigration. Earlier on this year, and this came up a bit in the debate, Governor Romney probably a little stronger on the issue of border enforcement and so forth during the Republican primaries. He also talked about how he was not in favor of the DREAM Act. Now he's sounding a little bit more sympathetic towards the idea, although he's not happy with the way it was implemented. The president, of course, we know, implemented the DREAM Act in a lot of ways by executive order. So what did you hear from the two candidates last night that differentiated them substantially?
Well, I think, you know, when you said Governor Romney didn't like the way the president came about putting in the DREAM Act, I think that's, you know, that hits the nail on the head. And that's predominantly a constitutional issue for me as a member of Congress. So we had the president come forward and say, look, I, as the president, as the executive branch head, I've got prosecutorial discretion over who I bring to trial. Okay, I get that, prosecutorial discretion, and the president thinks there are places where that prosecutorial effort can be applied more stringently to greater effect. You know, I can't argue with that. But then when he says, and I'm going to apply this to an entire class of people, that's getting a little bit beyond what prosecutorial discretion is designed to do. And then when he goes further and says, and I will provide this class of people with a two-year work permit that is renewable indefinitely, well, you know, what the dickens is going on? That's immigration law. And it says in my copy of the Constitution that that is reserved for the legislative branch. I mean, I'm just a simple country doctor. The president's a constitutional scholar, but surely he knows that, and I think, of course, he does. And it was his way of getting around the Constitution, getting around the Congress, because guess what? This is hard. It's hard for a reason, because the country is divided on this. It's going to take something called leadership, which the president has refused to provide. He has decided that he's going to go about things in a back doorway and not confront his critics on the right or the left. And as a consequence, whoever is president over the next 4 years is left with a very muddled policy with no clear parameters and no clear direction. And I don't think he's done anyone any favors. So regardless of how you feel about the predicament of someone who was brought here very young before they knew that they were breaking the law or not, regardless of how you feel about that as a class of people, the president has made the situation, the conditions on the ground, actually that much worse.
Congressman, do you feel that the Tuesday night debate was a game changer in any significant way?
Not to the extent that the one was 2 weeks ago. And obviously, Governor Romney, in that first debate, was the clear winner and the president was the clear loser. Did they perhaps draw even more even in this debate? Yes, but the fact of the matter is I don't think that undoes the good that happened in the first debate. The president's supporters are going to be grateful that he didn't sleepwalk through another debate. So good on them, and I'm glad they feel something was accomplished. But I believe as people begin to dissect down into what actually transpired last night, that the inability of the president to articulate a governing agenda for a second term, that's frightening. We're electing him just because he feels like he ought to have more time. That is one of the most truly preposterous notions that has come out in any presidential debate that I've ever heard or seen. I think, of course, the whole Libya question, they'll have more time to deal with this in the foreign policy debate. The president has yet to answer the question, who told Susan Rice to go out on all those television shows 5 days after our ambassador was killed and mislead the American people repetitively, consistently, and in a way that really was designed to deflect any negative attention from the administration, who, after all, had been saying that I got Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda is on the run, they can't do any more damage. oops, they did, and the president was running away from it. He's going to have to answer that question sooner or later. This Libya problem for him is not going to go away, and it's going to be pretty ugly when people really understand what has happened. We lost an ambassador, and the administration has been lying to us about it.
Congressman, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you for your time, as always.
Great. Thanks, Greg.
Texas Republican Congressman Michael Burgess represents the Lone Star State's 26th Congressional District. He's a member of the House Energy and Commerce Committee. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.